from Breitbart.com by Aaron Banks. Clutching at straws, the pro-EU campaign are already showing how desperate they are. It's no surprise that Nigel Farage wiped the floor with Carwin Jones. Here's what my debate with the director of Britain Stronger in Europe taught me about the Remain campaign. Last week, I had the pleasure of debating the Stronger in, the European Union, campaign's executive director, Will Straw, in front of the Foreign Press Association. His performance was polished, slick even, but far from the positive and patriotic vision we've long been promised by those who wish to trade our sovereignty away for another generation. Instead, we got a rehash of the old fear-mongering half-truths and scare stories pro-EU types have been pitching for years. I almost couldn't believe my ears when Will started accusing Leave campaigners of resorting to wild and inaccurate figures, before claiming that the European Union, or EU, funded Confederation of British Industry, the CBI, had calculated that EU membership was worth £3,000 to every household in the UK. This claim was universally panned when the CBI first made it in 2013. Being based on a review of cost-benefit studies, the award-winning Channel 4 Fact Check described as partial and one-sided. The headline figure of £3,000 is twice as optimistic as any of the studies it is supposed to be based on, with Fact Check finally concluding that the number is not based on any real evidence. Yet, 2 years on, Will is still pushing it. Can he really be this clueless, or do the Euro elite hold the public in such low regard that they think they can just pump out any old rubbish? Even more unforgivable was the repetition of the ancient scare story that Brexit, a British EU exit, being a threat to the 3 million jobs linked to trade with Europe. This goes back more than 15 years to a report by the then director of the National Institute for Economic and Social Research, Martin Wheel, which the old campaign for Britain to join the EU used to threaten the public. Then, as now, of course, saying jobs are linked to trade with EU members is quite different from saying jobs are dependent on EU membership. Indeed, Martin Wheel himself described the Europhile's interpretation of his work as, quote, absurd. It's pure Goebbels. In many years of academic research, I cannot recall such a willful distortion of the facts. Nobody could plausibly believe the figures, and there is no reason why being outside the EU should necessarily involve mass unemployment, end quote. More importantly, there are 6.5 million EU-based jobs in Germany, France and the rest related to their trade with the UK, so there's just no way that Ms. Merkel and Mr. Hollande would put them at risk by erecting trade barriers. It just doesn't make sense. To be fair to Will, he did manage to tack on a few new arguments to these classic Euro howlers. We heard that the EU strengthens our national security, barely 2 months after Interpol chief Robert Noble condemned its Schengen area as, quote, effectively an international passport-free zone for terrorists, end quote. We were also threatened with losing the dangerously illiberal European Arrest Warrant, or EAW, used to deport Welsh teenager Andrew Semiu to a vermin-infested Greek prison where he was held without trial for almost a year on bogus charges, without the British authorities ever getting a chance to evaluate the case against him. Some threat. To be clear, the EAW has seen just under 700 criminals brought to charges in the UK in all its years of operation. Meanwhile, a Freedom of Information request from 2011 revealed that criminals across the EU were taking advantage of free movement to carry out 500 crimes in Britain every week. It makes more sense to control our borders to reduce crime than to have an arrest warrant that could be replaced by international agreements that protect our citizens. Will said several times that staying in the EU was a matter of, quote, simple arithmetic, end quote. But the numbers here just don't add up, with the free-for-all system he's defending posing a clear danger to the public, giving a bad name to the law-abiding majority of migrants into the bargain. The more we started to debate these issues, the more poor Will seemed to confuse himself, When I said we needed to be able to manage migration for the sake of our public services and make sure we were attracting the right sort of people, he demanded I tell him who the wrong people might be, seemingly to imply that there is no such thing. So much for New Labour claiming to have learned its lesson on immigration. Personally, I would suggest wrong people might include the likes of convicted rapist Marek Hakkar, who killed Scottish businesswoman Moira Jones, or convicted murderer Arnis Zalankis, who killed teenager Alice Gross. By assuming Will is right and there are no wrong people, why should free movement be restricted to Europeans? If he were to follow his argument through to its logical conclusion, we should open our borders to the whole world. I'm afraid he wasn't any more coherent on trade. First, he boasted that the EU had signed free trade agreements with more than 50 countries. Then he claimed that it was a fantasy to imagine that it would sign a free trade agreement with the UK, its single biggest export market. This would be unprecedented, he told me, demanding to know what evidence I had that such a thing was possible. I was too embarrassed to point out that the 50 countries he had already supplied were the evidence. He'd really missed the contradiction. I don't think Will is a bad guy. It's just that he grew up as the young prince of a cozy metropolitan political elite, and he genuinely can't imagine life beyond the gilded cage of EU membership. This came through most clearly when he started claiming Switzerland has no access to the single market in services, when the European Commission's own website lists Switzerland as a very important partner in this trade, or that claims we are constantly outvoted in Brussels couldn't be further from the truth, when we are in fact in a voting minority more often than any other EU member. He was right on one thing when he said that, quote, Britain has always been at our best when we stand tall and play our full part in international organisations, end quote. To do that, we need to leave the EU, take back the power to make bilateral deals with our old partners in countries like Canada, Australia and India, and regain our independent vote on global bodies like the World Trade Organization. The United Kingdom is a great country. Let's have peace, commerce and honest friendship with our neighbours. By all means, we can stand on our own two feet on the world stage. That's the normal condition for every advanced democracy outside the European Union. That's not a leap in the dark. Aaron Banks runs the Leave.eu organisation, the largest grassroots movement of people dedicated to leaving the European Union.